Joining me on the line right now, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, also GOP strategist, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How you doing?
Doing all right. Thanks for coming on today. Let's talk a little bit about the runoff elections. Nobody dropped out between Dan Branch and David Dewhurst.
Nope.
I don't know if anyone really was expecting him to. I know there was a push, but let me ask you this. Is there any way whatsoever that David Dewhurst or Dan Branch wins a runoff?
I think in most cases it's unlikely, but, you know, in politics you never say never. And honestly, if a scandal were to come out, or one candidate ran a really, really bad runoff, or, you know, there was a significant fundraising disadvantage for those front runners, I mean, you could see, you know, things getting interesting. But ultimately, I just think, you know, where the Republican Party is in the primaries, these voters, it's very tough when you're not considered the more conservative candidate in a runoff. I mean, David Dewhurst proved that against Ted Cruz 2 years ago. And if you look up and down ballot, on these statewide races, the candidates that were able to effectively identify themselves as being the most conservative in these races really succeeded up and down ballot. So that's why I think in both cases, Dan Branch in the AG race and David Dewhurst in the lieutenant governor race have a problem. And they also are working from a deficit in both cases. Branch was down, I think, 11 points, 44 to 33. And Dewhurst was down quite, you know, stunning, I think, 44 or 45 to 28. So he's down 16 or 17 points, which was a much larger margin for him to come back from than I think he expected, or really anybody expected.
Well, when it comes to David Dewhurst, are people upset that he's not conservative enough, or is it that he's been there for such a long time and they're just ready for a little bit of change at that position? Or is it a mixture of both?
I think it's definitely a mixture of both. I mean, I think right now it's very dangerous to be incumbent. People are not really happy with incumbents. I think that's more true at the federal level than the state level. But I think just being an incumbent, you have to sort of, you know, defend your tenure, defend your record. And you have a lot of actions you've taken which other people can criticize. And so, you know, I think, you know, now's a great time, particularly with Governor Perry choosing not to run for election. There's a lot of candidates trying to move up. There's a lot of new energy coming into the party in Texas. And so it's very hard to kind of hang on. I think Dewhurst is still dealing with some of the negative damage that was done to him by Ted Cruz in the U.S. Senate primary runoff. I think he's restored himself somewhat through the legislative session, but he's seen as being moderate. But I think even more than that, you know, if you just sort of, you know, really analyze the Dewhurst as a candidate, at the end of the day, he's not a very good candidate. I mean, it's, you know, it's not maybe pleasant to talk about, but he's not a very effective communicator. He sometimes has problems, you know, really, you know, communicating with audiences. Mm-hmm. He's not sort of a natural politician. He's someone who's worked really hard, who has a fairly conservative record, and should be able to really, you know, talk about that record. And he's done so more effectively in this race than he did in the U.S. Senate race. But ultimately, he's just not a natural. When you see someone like Dan Patrick, who's made, you know, much of his career communicating on radio, it's a stark contrast. And so Patrick's been able to develop an enthusiastic grassroots base that's much larger, much more rabid, much more likely to turn out and be motivated, I think, the Dewhurst has so far.
Well, and you know this, it's important to get on media, it's important to get on TV, on radio, to get your name out there and to get your story across to the voters and to get the reasons why people should vote for you. And it seems as though David Dewhurst is, I don't know if scared's the right word, or he's shied away from media attention. Whereas Dan Patrick, he can't wait to get on your radio station or on your TV station or anywhere else. If you want him on, he will come on. Does that play a role in this?
I think it's probably emblematic more of just the level of confidence, of the difference in the level of confidence each of these candidates have in their own ideas and their own experience and their own ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, if you're Dan Patrick, I mean, what fear do you have of an interview? I mean, the guy has been on radio for so long, he's done so many interviews, he's so confident in his own views and his own experience that, you know, he'd be glad. I mean, he challenged, or I guess accepted a challenge from the mayor of San Antonio for a debate on immigration, which I think is happening next month. You know, it'd be hard to imagine Dewhurst, you know, going up and challenging some prominent Democratic politician to a, you know, sort of high-stakes debate right now. So I think that's emblematic of sort of the difference between the two candidates. So, I mean, really, you know, just to get back to your original question about the chances for Branch and Dewhurst, the question both those campaigns are going to have to answer is, are their donors willing to double down, given that they both have margins to overcome, that there's a sense that both of them are you know, long shots in these runoffs because they don't have concerted grassroots mobilized. And that's a question, you know, we'll know the answer to that at some point, but it's going to take a little while. I presume they're starting to get feedback on that already, which is either encouraging or discouraging. My guess is it's discouraging, but that remains to be seen. If they're able to raise enough money and get on television and run strong ads and really highlight a contrast between themselves and the more conservative challengers, yeah, these runoffs could be competitive, but at the end of the day, I think, again, Dan Patrick and Ken Paxton are the overwhelming frontrunners in both races.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, MustReadTexas.com, also GOP strategist. Matt, taking a look at Rick Perry, he made a little bit of news yesterday. When over the weekend he came out and endorsed Mitch McConnell. What do you read into this? You know, obviously he has a little bit of cover from Rand Paul, who's also endorsed Mitch McConnell, but some Tea Party groups, some conservative groups, not too happy about it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's funny. You're starting to see a number of positive developments from McConnell in that primary. You've seen some polling that has shown Bevin, you know, 25, 30, 35 points behind. They believe that primary is May 20th, so it's only really 2 months away. I think part of this is Perry being practical. I also think part of this is that he's trying to highlight a contrast with Ted Cruz in Texas. And Cruz is much more identified with folks who support Bevin than McConnell. I also think, look, he was in Kentucky. I don't know that he know he was in Kentucky over the weekend at a Republican event raising money for, I think, a local Republican party. I don't know that he knows McConnell very well, but my guess is at the end of the day, he sort of made a practical decision that's more about his own future than anything else. But, you know, look, Ann Coulter wrote a fairly interesting column. I'm not always a big fan of Ann Coulter, but she wrote an interesting column over the weekend about McConnell sort of making the argument that he's a very conservative senator and she doesn't understand why there's a conservative challenge to him. And so I think that you're starting to see some of the McConnell forces really get some momentum and push back, and I think they're starting to make some headway, and I think that Perry endorsing is probably a little bit of a reflection of that.
Matt, what can people find on MustReadTexas.com today?
Just getting started, getting it updated. Obviously, you had spring break last week for most people, so it was kind of a slow week with politics. You did have the Wednesday deadline for candidates to withdraw their name from the ballot if they wish to. Just to let me know, all the runoffs are going forward. There will be a couple stories up on Perry endorsing McConnell from over the weekend, and I believe the House and Senate are both in recess this week, so it should be a fairly slow week, but we'll have all the top politics news and opinion and blog items on MustReadTexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chad. See ya.
Have a good one. That's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Matt Mikowiak.